In the autumn of 1621, Governor William Bradshaw of the Plymouth Colony appointed a day for feasting and thanksgiving by the Pilgrims. And in 1789, George Washington proclaimed a National Day of Thanks. And in 1893, Abraham Lincoln revived the custom. And since 1941, we have kept the fourth Thursday in November as the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, what is the first thing that you picture in your mind when you think of this particular holiday? Is it the turkey, baked to a sumptuous golden brown and stuffed with rich, tasty dressing? Is it the pumpkin pie, spicy and tempting, topped with mounds of homemade whipped cream? Is it the table surrounded by those you love? Or is it the sounds of the cheering crowds at a football game? Maybe it's the bargains to be found shopping. These and all the other pictures that come to your mind are beautiful and meaningful mental treasures when they are the result of our expression of joy in living through the act of giving thanks. There is a wonderful power to the praising act of thanksgiving that goes above and beyond the turkey, the pilgrims, or the football games. The need to give thanks is an urge innate to all of us. By its exercise, we direct a force used through the ages by those illumined with spiritual wisdom and understanding. When rightly directed, we discover thanksgiving to be the power that corrects conflicts, brings our lives the fulfillment of our heart's desires. The use of this awesome power of thanksgiving is illustrated throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. In fact, all religions have practiced the power of thanksgiving. Until Jesus, however, most religious leaders considered the secret force so threatening to their own position and their own power that they would not teach ordinary people its use. But Jesus had no such fear. He gladly demonstrated control and direction of the awesome power of thanksgiving and freely gave us ordinary people the keys for understanding how to use it in our own lives. Using his keys, we can discover from the Bible how to apply the magnificent power of thanksgiving for our good. So let's examine briefly three just random examples. First, let's find the means of overcoming so-called severe challenges. And second, let us find a cure for depression. And third, we discover a way to bring fulfillment to our most cherished desires. Early in the history of the Hebrew people, we read of how the patriarch Jacob demanded a blessing, even though the situation in which he found himself appeared to be far from conducive to receiving any blessing. A blessing is good, which provides a reason for thanksgiving. Now, as you may recall from your Bible reading and classes, Jacob was the favorite son of his mother, Rebekah. He had earlier tricked his twin, the firstborn, Esau, out of his birthright in exchange for bread and a pottage of lentils. He then went on to contrive with his mother to outwit his aged and blind father, Isaac, to receive the inheritance blessing belonging to Esau. And because of this deception, Esau was ready to kill Jacob. For his self-protection, Jacob and his mother decided that Jacob should leave his home and go to Mesopotamia, where he would work with his uncle Laban. And as we know, the law is not mocked. What goes round comes round, and what we reap, we sow. Jacob was tricked into marrying Laban's elder daughter, Leah, after working 7 years for his beloved Rachel. Time passed, and Jacob prospered, and he became the patriarch of a large family. Eventually, he decided to return to Canaan, the land promised Abraham, his grandfather. Having not learned his lesson, once again, Jacob resorted to trickery to possess that which he believed to be rightfully his, and he separated from his father-in-law with Laban's warning that he should not return. And so, Jacob and his wives, his servants and his children, with their herds and their other possessions, began the long journey home. As they traveled, a message arrived that struck fear in Jacob's heart. His brother Esau, accompanied by an armed force, was on his way to meet him. Frightening thoughts ran through Jacob's mind. Could he ever forget Esau's threat to kill him? Was that still his intent? Maybe his bloodthirst could be satisfied with gifts, or with killing only a part of his family. We can imagine Jacob's state of mind. Here was a situation that could clearly be described as a very severe challenge. He had already been warned by his father-in-law not to return to Mesopotamia, yet he dared not continue on to Canaan. Esau, the original victim of his trickery, awaited him there with an army. As the cliche goes, Jacob seemed to be between a rock and a hard place. Though filled with fear, Jacob did two very important things. First, he prayed, and second, he took appropriate action. He sent gifts to Esau, hoping to convince his brother that he wished to be friends. The entire company moved on while Jacob remained at the ford, the Jabbok. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn. And through this event, Jacob discovered the great power of thanksgiving. He found that out of every experience, no matter how hopeless it may appear, a blessing, a reason for thanksgiving will come if we are able to accept it. Spiritually, he overcame the fear that kept him from giving thanks before the blessing manifested. On the human level, he also overcame his severe challenge. This is the law of nature on all levels. Have you ever seen a documentary or photos of the ancient city of Petra? It's called the Rose City because it is made up of magnificent caves carved from rose-colored rocks. And you can look far and wide and you will see nothing but rose-colored mountains and narrow sheer cliffs with walls rising up over 100 feet straight up on both sides. There seems to be nothing there but bare, naked rock. And then, all at once, you see it. In the ridge rock is a small patch of green and a gnarled fig tree. A seed, blown by the wind, has lodged where there was a tiny bit of soil and some trapped moisture. It showed its thankfulness for even that little and clung to the rock, defying its perilous environment and overcoming it, even expressing itself in a paradoxical beauty, life emerging from a rock. Like this fig tree, Jacob was an overcomer. The man with whom he struggled spiritually represented his higher nature, struggling to demonstrate to his human nature the force of thanksgiving. In gaining control of himself, he received the greatest of all blessings and as a natural consequence, conditions in his outer world harmonized. As Jacob's brother Esau approached, he had with him an army of 400 men. So we can easily imagine Jacob's thought at such a moment. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Jacob gave his brother gifts, and the two were reconciled. It was not necessary for Jacob to experience such trials and such indignities. It was not the will of God, but rather the result of Jacob's erroneous beliefs and acts, and his failure to give thanks for each blessing, no matter how seemingly small, before they became manifest. Nevertheless, out of seeming disaster, through spiritual power, Jacob came out a victor, and he went on to be known as Israel, the father of the 12 tribes. Fortunately for us, we rarely face such trials as Jacob did. Yet none of us is immune to the challenges of life. When we do have to face such situations, we sometimes mistakenly believe that the situation or the experience was preordained by God for some purpose, and the experience itself is good. The fact is that the experience is neither good nor bad. It is only what we praise and give thanks for in our thoughts and our feelings and our acts regarding the experience that had an effect on our lives for either good or ill. This is explained by Jesus in the report of the healing of the blind man who was born blind. The authorities asked who had sinned, the man or his parents, that he should be born blind. Jesus' response was simply that neither had sinned, that the event took place that God might be glorified. In other words, the situation existed for the simple purpose of being overcome through thanksgiving for good. Perhaps the most hope-inspiring passage in the Bible is that so often repeated phrase, "It came to pass." This is a helpful thought to remember when we are faced with challenges in our lives and in the lives of those we love. If we keep our vision on that which we desire and say of the challenge, "Thank you, Father, it came to pass," we will truly overcome our obstacles. All of us have much to be thankful for, but when we feel down in the dumps, we tend to forget our thankfulness and our gratitude. At those times, we can profit from the words of Oliver Cromwell, an English soldier and statesman who prayed, "Some people have food, but no appetite. Others have appetite, but no food. I have both. The Lord be praised." And the Lord is indeed to be praised. Jacob discovered the great power of praise out of necessity, but Jesus understood the law by which it operated, and we can learn from his understanding. He demonstrated it on many occasions, and he also explained it. Jesus did not need a challenge with which to wrestle the depths of despair climb out of before he invoked the power of thanksgiving. All he needed was a purpose. When he stood before the multitude with only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, he lifted his head and he blessed the food. He gave thanks. We are told that all were fed with food and all was left over. Jesus recognized no limitation. He was a bit like the little boy who listened in rapt attention as a new minister finished his sermon and prayed on in lengthy detail, enumerating the multitudinous needs of mankind. On the way home, the father asked if he had not been impressed by so eloquent a prayer. "I sure was, Daddy," the son replied. "Why, that preacher asked God for things that other preachers don't even know he has." And so did Jesus. He even had the audacity to ask God to raise the dead. Jesus stood at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, dead and buried 4 days, and asked that he be returned to life. We read in the Gospel of John that he first lifted his eyes. He raised his vision from the world of appearances to the realms of truth, and he spoke these words, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe." Jesus realized that the answer to prayer is instantaneous, that there is no need to wrestle all night or to tear our clothes. Yet in order that others might understand this magnificent power, he began with the words of thanksgiving. And then he spoke with authority, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had been dead did indeed come out of the tomb with his hands and feet still bound and his face wrapped in a cloth. How many times have we faced what appeared to be the death of our hopes, the death of our dreams, and our deepest desires? At such a time, we may have come when we have lost a job, at the end of a marriage, or the death of a loved one. If such things occur, we can follow Jesus' example. First, we can lift our eyes. We can look beyond appearances to the truth, beyond the problem to the solution. We can give thanks. In truth, the answer is already there, even though it has not yet manifested to our physical senses. We then act by speaking the word with authority. We tell the Lazarus within us to come forth from the dead. When we follow these steps in spiritual thanksgiving, we can be assured, just as Jesus was, that our prayers are answered even before we speak. Each of us is life expressing. Sometimes we forget the joy of being, and we cower in the face of seeming obstacles. Even then, praise and joy abound if we will just let them. We are not like the fig tree that I mentioned earlier, growing from a crack in the rock of the Jordanian desert, bound to a sheer, stark wall. We have the intelligence and the mobility that allows us to go around, under, and through, or even to rise above the most severe challenges, the deepest depressions, and the most hopeless circumstances. We are true children of God, each and every one of us. If the lowly fig tree can express itself in a joyous praise to life, can we, who are a little less than God, do any less? As we prepare to celebrate our Thanksgiving holiday, let us enjoy the turkey, the pumpkin pie, our family and friends, and even the omnipresent football games. But more importantly, let us be mindful that the magnificent power of thanksgiving is much more than these. The magnificent power of thanksgiving is our own precious receptivity of that which the Father has already given to us in the past, in the present, and in the future. With the psalmist, let us gratefully sing, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? So please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes and rest your feet on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your sides. So rest the body so that it doesn't call attention to itself as we relax. Take a deep breath and let it out slowly. And as we let out that breath, we are letting go of all of the things that we've been holding inside of ourselves. We're letting go of everything that is outside of this peaceful and holy place. So if you're holding on to worrisome thoughts, if you're holding on to anger or resentment, holding on to jealousy, counting the list of things on your list of things to do, let that all go. And just be still. Be still and quiet. And know that within you is our Father, waiting for you with open arms, with all his love, and with great peace. Heavenly Father, I raise my thoughts and my voice to you in praise and in thanksgiving for the awareness of your holy presence in, around, and through me, and in, around, and through all of life. I am grateful, Father, that I feel your presence in every act of love and kindness that is expressed. I am grateful for the awareness of your Spirit in every instance of joyfulness that makes the heart sing. I am grateful for the simple gift of faith, without which nothing can be done. It is by the faith of the grain of the mustard seed that you have planted in me that I do have faith. Father, I am grateful for the gifts of patience, consideration, tolerance, understanding, and right judgment. For these are the gifts of your Spirit that bring your light and love into the world. I am grateful, Father, for each new day and the opportunities and the potentialities that they hold for the possibility of more knowledge, new understanding, and greater wisdom. I am grateful, Father, that you fill my every need before I can even think to ask. My gratitude knows no bounds, just as your gifts have no end. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you all that he is and all that he has. Amen.